Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'atotep. Welcome to a special edition of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very, very honored to be able to broadcast to you live and in living color, and certainly to provide you with what we know is information that is definitely for true liberation. Before we begin our program tonight, as always, of course, we greet you in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep, but also we give thanks and praises, of course, to our Creator, and always remind you that we are very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. And certainly to say freedom-fighting ancestors during this time of the year is really very, very important because it is, in fact, Black August, and this special edition is kind of one of our commemoration pieces or one of our commemoration broadcasts for Black August. For those who are not familiar with Black August, well, you certainly will become a bit more in tune tonight. We're going to bring on very shortly one of our sisters who, of course, has definitely made a serious and clear commitment to liberation, to the work of obtaining justice for our people, and, of course, justice in particular for her own family, and that is, of course, the MOVE organization. I'm talking about none other than Sister Ramona Africa. Sister Ramona Africa will be joining us very shortly, and we're going to talk a bit about August 8th. The aftermath, the beforemath, but definitely the fact that the struggle does indeed continue as we begin to get really prepared, I would think, or more prepared to do the kind of things that we know is absolutely necessary today. We've got a lot of information in just this week. I mean, we get information in just all the time, needless to say, but certainly, this week we received a lot of information, again, that just lets us know that the time is coming near where we are going to have to step this thing up, step up our efforts, step up our work for, again, true liberation, true justice, true Ma'at, and ultimately, Hotep, peace. But as we said, the struggle does indeed continue. So what we're going to do before we get prepared to go to our live line, and we're going to open up the chat room in about maybe 5 or so minutes, but before we kind of go into the dialogue that we have for you tonight, and also we're going to give you a report, update on Dr. Matula Shakur. Of course, we talked about Dr. Matula Shakur on our program on Saturday. Just so happened that we did receive an update since then in regard to a recent court action. So we're going to provide that message for you a little later on. We're going to also bring you some information, of course, on Mumia Abu-Jamal and an upcoming event that will be taking place here in Philadelphia to, again, continue the work in regards to Mumia. And, well, what we're going to do right about now is I'll play a commentary very shortly, one of the recent commentaries from Lumia. But in the meantime, we're going to go into the vault, as they say, and bring out a little bit of something that we think you're all going to like. Recently, we heard that, of course, there's been some kind of thing that has happened in space. For example, we have heard that people have now, or some kind of apparatus has now gotten on the moon. Wow, that's pretty interesting. Well, sorry, not the moon, Mars. The reason why I said the moon is because what I'm getting ready to play for you is kind of something from several years ago, talking about the advancements in space, yet with all of the problems, with all of the economic woes and so forth and so on, they're able to put some kind of apparatus in space that supposedly is going to be able to do some very interesting things. And we can't help but to wonder, what else is that about? But anyway, just a little blast from the past, as they say. And with that said, we're going to talk about some of the ventures out into space. Let's see if some of you remember this.
Began to swell and white is on the moon. I can't pay no doctor bills White is on the moon.
Indeed. Well, as you can tell, as we now hear and learn more about this new escapade of going into space, certainly things get worse and worse right here on Earth. But you all know what that's about. Again, that was Gil Scott-Heron, Whitey on the Moon. And now they're on Mars, or something's on Mars, but again, we also know and must be watchful as to what is that really about. So we'll have that dialogue again, or we'll go back to that at another time. But again, what we want to talk about tonight, of course, is looking closer and commemorating Black August, and of course some of the activities, events that are coming up, but certainly some of the things that have already happened. You know, it's just incredible. When I was doing some review for the program tonight, and I looked and I saw how it's been 34 years. It's just, you know, mind-boggling. But we're going to talk about August 8th here in Philadelphia, and also what apparently or what obviously came somewhat after that, but all connected. And again, not only why, but what are we going to do? When we go to our live line in a few moments and talk with Sister Ramona Africa, as we kind of revisit some of what has happened in the past and look at where we're at presently, we have to also ask ourselves, really, what are we going to do? We already know what the enemy has done, is doing and more than likely what it will do. But the question still remains, are we doing, and this is our question for the night, and we're going to open up the chat room as well as the lines a little later on and get your responses. But the question for tonight is, any of us, any of our people who claim to be or profess to be or say to be of some revolutionary mind or freedom-fighting mind or African liberation mind, should it be that a part of that is to do something realistically as it pertains to working towards the freedom of our political prisoners? That's the question for tonight, and we'd like to get some feedback from you a little later on. But for right now, we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And, of course, before we do, we want to make sure we add in there that along with Wadi on the Moon, Gil Scott-Heron, we heard, of course, from our brother Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're going to hear another commentary from Mumia a little later on, and we're going to also hear a message from Delbert Africa. So with that said, and without further ado, we're going to talk about August 8th, 1978 here in Philadelphia. And not just that day, of course, because there are things that led up to that day, but, of course, we now still have brothers and sisters who are still incarcerated, are still in these dungeons as a result of standing up, speaking out. And as you heard oftentimes before, it's certainly much more to it than what is usually reported or said or what have you. But we're going to hear it directly from the source. So what we're going to do now is go to our live line, and joining us for tonight's program is, of course, our sister Ramona Africa, who is the Minister of Information for the MOVE organization, along with a human rights activist, along with a justice freedom fighter, advocate and activist, and I could go on and on. And so for those who are not familiar with Sister Ramona, you certainly will be able to do so tonight. And we're going to give you information on how you can continue to connect and certainly continue to do the work to help deal with bringing our brothers and sisters home. So we're going to go to our live line now, and joining us is Sister Ramona Africa. Hey, Ramona.
On the move. How are you?
All right. All right. You know. How'd you like that
opening? The struggle continues.
You know that's right.
Yep. I did an interview today with this brother from the Tribune, and when I was running things down to him, because, you know, he's young, this happened 34 years ago, he was just, like, mesmerized and amazed, like, how can this be happening? How can it continue to happen, you know? And he was really shocked, you know, really shocked and outraged. But, you know, I'm really glad that you started talking about what the real issue is, that the real issue is what we're going to do, what we'll take and what we won't take, you know, what we will settle for and what we won't settle for. That is the crux of the issue, because we already know where these officials are coming from. We already know what their agenda they're about. But the issue is, are we just going to be a doormat for them and just take whatever they dish out? Or are we going to fight back? Are we going to be true men and women and have enough respect and love of ourselves that we will never accept being treated, you know, with abuse and disrespect and, you know, the way these officials treat us? That's really the question. That's really the issue. The issue is not specifically MOVE, because MOVE people, you know, have been abused by these officials, but so have a whole lot of other people, you know? So when we're talking about the need to stand up. We're talking about people standing up for themselves more so than for somebody else, you know? Because the only way that these officials can really target certain people who are standing up is because such people are the exception rather than the rule. And they can be targeted, you know, because it's not something that most, if not everybody, is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a position that most, if not all, oppressed people are taking. So, you know, we really need to deal with that because people have put their lives on the line, their freedom, their families, you know, on the line to take a stand. And I'm not saying that these people are just doing it for everybody else. When we take a stand, we do it first and foremost for ourselves, okay? And then it spreads to our sisters and brothers, you know? It's an example. But people need to be fair, you know? People really need to be fair because once you get past yourself and know that you should be strong and take a strong stand for yourself, then you also have to look at people that have also taken a stand for themselves and ultimately for the people and be fair about it. I mean, how are you going to let people stand up for you and you just forget about them? You're on a whole nother page. You have no, you know, appreciation or sense of fairness that, you know, you may not be able to do what some freedom fighters and soldiers, particularly those behind the wall, have committed themselves to doing. But everybody can do something, you know?
Right.
And the problem is too many people are doing nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is just not fair. It is just not fair. And, I mean, it shows a lack of respect and love for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A total disregard for yourself. You know, people really need to start dealing with that because anybody that respects themselves and loves themselves is not going to allow people to mistreat and abuse them, not without a fight.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But you know, Mona, for some reason, and I'm seeing it more and more for, again, I don't know how this is happening, although knowing this system or having watched this system all of my life, while you may not be able to figure out exactly how they're doing it, you know that they're doing it. And in this thing that I'm speaking about is it seems like our people are going back to sleep. It seems like it's a trance or some kind of spell or something because it just, you know, for example, we talked about this on a preview on some of the other shows, how when the young sister here in Philly, 21 years old, was jumped and killed right in front of the traffic court building, not by one male, but three males, and how people stood around and watched.
Hmm.
Now, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, if people don't have any regard for themselves, then there's no way people are going to have regard for anybody else, you know? And the thing is, when you talk about it seems like people are going back to sleep. I remember we did a program here in Philadelphia, and we brought in Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. It was the 25th year since the bombing, and we were at the African American History Museum. And I remember Chairman Fred saying that Obama was the new crack, the new opiate. And there are a lot of things and people that this system uses to trick and divert and mesmerize people, you know, delude them into thinking that things are getting better, that we're moving on up, and, you know, that things is good. Everything is good. When it's not, it's just a trick, you know. And one reason why these officials have come at MOVE the way we have from the early 70s up to 78, after 78 up to 85, and since then, you know, because nothing has changed, nothing has stopped, because our people are still in prison, and now it's not judges and district attorneys actually in the forefront of making decisions about MOVE, it's the parole board. But whoever it is, they all got the same agenda when it comes to MOVE. And the reason they have this agenda with MOVE, their agenda being to exterminate, break down, eliminate the MOVE organization, is because thanks to John Africa and the wisdom he has passed on to us, we can't be fooled. This system has absolutely nothing that we want, and we can't be bribed or co-opted or deluded, and they know that. I mean, this was after the bombing, and these officials were hallucinating that, you know, well, we know after that example they're going to be a little more compliant, they're going to be a little more, you know, ready to listen to us, and they came to us, MOVE members that were in prison, and said, well, we'll parole you, we'll release you if you leave MOVE and have no contact with any MOVE member. You know, I think they were really crazy, really hallucinating that they could get somewhere with that. But they saw that they couldn't, because not one of us accepted that. You know, not one of us.
You know what, I thought that to be, because unfortunately, and we know this to be so, so true, and we've seen it over and over, there have been many, or at least some, let me put it that way, who really did buy that, who they were able to buy off, who did in fact sell us out. So they figure, well, hey, you know, it worked with these, it worked with some of them, why not should it work with some more?
Yeah, and plus, John Africa told us almost from the very beginning, that these people would never stop trying us, never stop testing us and trying to pull us. They'll never stop, you know?
Right.
So it's to be expected. But the thing is, MOVE can't be bought or be beat down or be coerced into submission. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Right now, our family members sit in prison 34 years as of August 8th, yesterday. And the thing is, it is so clear that they are not in prison for the accusation of crime, that they are in prison for being committed revolutionaries, committed MOVE members, committed disciples of John Africa, because the judge who presided over the trial, and a lot of people don't know this or forget it, you know, it's not in the forefront of their mind if they did know. The fact is, this was not a jury trial. This was what they call a bench trial, a trial by the judge alone without a jury. And MOVE people elected to go that route, because MOVE people were not going to allow this system to railroad move people and then blame it on the people, on, you know,
right.
a jury. Tell people,
right.
well, they had
right.
three of their peers, and
that's, right.
that's who convicted them, et cetera. Uh-uh. Move
right.
people, put the burden right on the judge, the representative of the system, the person that is supposed to be so learned in legal laws and be objective, you know. Put the burden right on him. And that judge, at the end of the MOVE trial, convicted 9 of my sisters and brother, and then sentenced each of the 9 to 30 to 100 years, and then promptly went on the Frank Ford show on radio the day or so after sentencing my family members. And when Mumia heard him on Frank Ford's show, who, by the way, was Lynn Abraham's husband before he died, Mumia called in and asked him straightforward, who killed James Lamp?
Mm-hmm.
And Malmit, Judge Malmit, replied, I haven't the faintest idea.
Mm.
Now, this was the trial judge, the legal scholar, and I'm not a judge, I'm not even a lawyer, but I know that they tell jurors, and I know the judge knows, that you have to be convinced beyond a reasonable doubt to convict somebody. Now, that's what they said.
That's right.
This judge stated clearly, he didn't have the faintest idea. This is not an illiterate, uneducated person. He knows the English language and knows how to say exactly what he wants to say. He did not say, well, I know one of them did it, so I convicted all of them. I don't know which one, but I know one did it, and I'm convicting all of them. He didn't say that. He said clearly, he did not have the faintest idea. That means he does not know at all who killed James Rand. He was
and
not.
And it's interesting.
Yeah, and the reason.
It's interesting that you're saying that, Mona, because usually they are so adamant. They are so, like, you know, so staunched in their positions and their law and so forth. So normally when a question like that is raised, they are immediately, yes, you know, give you such an emphatic answer.
Yeah, yeah. Like he would say, Judge Malmit would say something like, yes, I sat through the entire trial. I heard
right.
all of the evidence and, you know. But see, he was stumped because when Mumia asked him who killed James Ramp, he knew Mumia was asking him specifically who killed James Ramp. And he couldn't say. It was not proven beyond a reasonable doubt in that trial that any one of my family members killed James Ramp. It was not proven that any one of them did it. So what could he say? Well, Phil Africa did it. You know, Debbie Africa did it. He couldn't say.
Right.
Because it was not proven to him in that courtroom, you know, because none of them did do it. But it was not proven to him beyond a reasonable doubt. So, you know, that's why he said he didn't have the faintest idea. And now, excuse me, my family has sat in prison for 34 years, and the parole board now is saying that my family will not take responsibility for the crime, will not admit guilt and show remorse, and that's why they're not paroling them. My family has been telling them that they're innocent for 34 years now. The daggone judge could not say who killed James Ramp. but the parole board is going to demand that my family lie and say they did it, say that they killed James Webb. I mean, these people are crazy. They're crazy because what are they saying? If you admit to being a murderer and say you're a murderer, then we'll release you. But as long as you say you're innocent and maintain your innocence, you're going to stay in jail? What kind of sense does that make? None.
This is how they function. This is what they do. Whenever you, you know, see some of the movies or even if you see real footage when they are trying to get people to confess and they're giving those lines like, well, listen, if you admit it, if you confess, it'll make it lighter on you. I mean, this is what they do. This is how they do it.
Yeah,
their
how
are
they going
to
make it lighter
idea,
on you if you innocent?
Yeah, the whole idea of law and the way they so-called practice it, there's key things, as you know, there's key things that they try to get you to do as a part of their whole little systematic approach to this thing. And one of them is to get you to admit something based on the idea of, well, if you do, it'll be easier on you.
Well, two things about this parole board issue here and them trying to move people to lie and say they're guilty. One is, guilt or innocence is not an issue with parole. It's your prison record and your home plan and your job plan.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And if they could take issue with any of that with MOVE people, they would. They would.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you know, MOVE people, they can't trick us and get around us. Now, they want to pretend that MOVE people are guilty and, you know, that they're just trying to get them to take responsibility. But MOVE people aren't the only people that they have taken this position with. Across the country, these parole boards, you know, approach certain people and demand of them that they admit guilt, take responsibility. But the thing is, these people, a lot of them, refuse to lie and say they're guilty. And then they were exonerated. Exonerated.
Right.
Countless, numerous people have been exonerated through DNA tests, through new evidence, through someone coming forward and admitting, confessing to the crime. You know?
Yeah.
So where do these parole board members get the unmitigated gall, the arrogance to demand that anybody say that they're guilty? I mean, it's not like they've never been wrong. I mean, news accounts on radio, TV, print media are filled regularly with people being released from jail after 10, 20, 30, 40 years of unjust imprisonment.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a regular occurrence, you know? With that kind of track record, where do these people get off still trying to demand that somebody say they're guilty when they've been telling them for decades that they're not guilty, that they're innocent? And furthermore, like I always point out, what about their laws, the Fifth Amendment, the Constitution, that says nobody can be made to incriminate themselves? And that's if you're guilty, you can't be made to incriminate yourself. Not to mention, when you're innocent, somebody's going to try to coerce, you know, force you to lie and say you're guilty of something you didn't do. I mean, it is just absolutely ridiculous. And MOVE ain't standing for it. We ain't standing for it. We're going to expose it at every turn, you know. We're going to be an example for people to stand up for what's right, you know, and to come at these officials, you know, for the completely, blatantly injustice that they spit on people. You know, right now, we've been trying to get a meeting with Seth Williams, the district attorney, and the mayor, Mike Nutter.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth Williams won't even respond to us at all. Mike
mm-hmm.
Nutter had his scheduling secretary get back to me saying that we want to talk to the state parole board. That's who we should talk to. And I got back to her and said, we're not idiots. We know about the parole board, and we are dealing with them. But right now, what I'm asking for is a meeting with Mike Nutter because he's the mayor, you know, and needs to know exactly what's happening with this situation. We're not going to allow him to feign ignorance and, oh, I didn't know, you know.
Right.
We want to meet with him, and we want to meet with Seth Williams because he's the district attorney and has authority over all criminal matters, and he can do something about this situation. And furthermore, on Move People's responses that they have gotten from the parole board, it not only states refusal to take responsibility for the crime. It also says negative recommendation of the district attorney. So we want to confront this man as to how he could have a negative recommendation based on what he don't even know Move People. He was a kid in 78. The prisons, most of them, are recommending Move People for parole. Move People are not, quote-unquote, like, problem inmates, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we want to have a meeting with those two people. And the thing is, after the bombing, Wilson Good tried to cover his butt by creating this special investigative commission that somehow became known as the Move Commission.
Yes.
It wasn't our commission. You know, but became known as the Move Commission. And one of their major findings was that city officials, the mayor and other city officials, made a bad mistake by not keeping the lines of communication open with us. You know, Wilson Good refused to meet with us after he became mayor. He met with us when he was managing director and said it wasn't nothing he could really do as managing director, but if he became mayor, you know, he would have more leeway. After he became mayor, he refused to meet with us. He would not meet with us. Excuse me. And Ed Rendell just straight up refused to meet with us.
Right.
And he was the district attorney. And that special investigative commission made a major recommendation that they should always, that city officials must always keep the lines of communication open. They're not doing it. They're not doing it. You know?
You know, it's really interesting as we're talking about this. I'm really thinking and reflecting on a few things. One, I don't know if you know, Mona, that Nutter, sorry, Freudian slip there. He recently got appointed the head of all
the
of the mayors in the U.S.
Yeah.
Okay? And at the press conference or wherever they was at when they were announcing it, of course, Ed Rendell was there talking about how this was just such a wonderful thing. And so it is so obvious how these people are in such cahoots with each other.
Oh,
always
yeah.
have been, always will be. It's
yep.
just amazing. But the
and
other
that's
thing
why
moment,
it's so important for people to understand that our position is not going to improve our condition the condition of our people is not going to improve unless we improve it, unless we as a people, as the people, take a stand.
Right. You know, I was talking with a brother the other day who wasn't from Philly, and we were talking about that you were coming on tonight and, of course, about August 8th, and he said he was in Philly for a while, you know, of course, a few years after that. He said he always wondered, when he heard about that happening, and I'm talking about now 85 in particular, he said when he heard about that happening, he was out, not in Philly then, but he just knew that soon thereafter that Philly was going up in flames itself after what happened, that the people here were just going to be so outraged that it was just going to be complete mayhem. Mm. And he said, so when he heard about the commission happening and, you know, this was like the thing that they were going to be doing and the thing that black folks was going to be doing was sitting back listening to this commission review whatever, he was like, he couldn't believe it.
And that the black clergy of Philadelphia supported Wilson Good, had a vigil for him and not the people he murdered. Yeah. But see,
well, you know, that was the Christian thing to do.
Yeah, well, what about those babies that was murdered?
Yeah, but see, what I'm really saying about all that is, for real, as we know, the so-called powers that be, they focus on dealing with each other. That's their real priority.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's how it has always
been.
And
we need to learn that. We need to learn to do that as a people for what's right. They band together behind wrong. We need to band together in unity around what's right. And the thing is, another reason why that brother didn't see the, response that he was looking for is because these people are master manipulators. And they conned people. People allow themselves to be conned with that, we have to support our first black mayor. Nonsense. If Rizzo had did what Wilson Good did, if Bill Green had did what Wilson Good did, you would have seen more people taken to the streets, et cetera. People were outraged. I can't sit here and say people weren't outraged. People were outraged. They just didn't turn that outrage into action like they did in 78 when Rizzo attacked Mahmoud family. You know, people took to the streets. You were around. People marched on City Hall, worked to prevent the charter change so that Rizzo could not run again. You know? But that was Rizzo. And people were conned by skin color. With this, we have to support our first black mayor nonsense.
Kind of sounds a little familiar, wouldn't you say? Especially when we saw the bombing of Libya.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, we got to really, come together to step to these officials and send a strong, clear message to them, let them know in no uncertain terms that the people are not going to sit back and continue to be doormats, continue to be whipping posts for these officials. And we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to take a strong stand, or you're going to have a whole lot more August 8th, May 13th. August 7th of 1970, the Marin County Courthouse shootout with Jonathan Jackson. You're going to have resistance. You're going to have resistance. As long as these people keep oppressing folks, abusing and misusing people, hurling this injustice on people like they got a right to do it, you're going to always have resistance. You're always going to have it. but it needs to be a serious, concerted effort, you know, mm-hmm. of the people, and we need to stop getting confused and trapped into categories about who the victim is, who the perpetrator is, mm-hmm. and making mm-hmm. decisions based on that, you know, because that's what happens a lot. It happened with MOVE people. Oh, that was MOVE. You know, them people crazy.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
Wilson Good. He's the first black mayor. We got to support him. You know, being diverted by the individuals involved rather than focusing on the injustice, the abuse that's happening there. You know, so.
No, well, no, I'm going to say this. Having been here and seen this with my own eyes, some of these folks literally use that as their smokescreen or as their excuse.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
this is
our first black man. We got to show up. They use that because they really didn't want to deal with the issues. They really didn't want to deal with having to take action because. See, you know, oftentimes once you recognize something, there's just something internally that can happen that if you don't respond to it, then, it just leaves some kind of, if not mental, spiritual kind of attack on you. So what they did to lessen that or to get rid of that was to create this other kind of illusion of, well, see, the black mayor, we got to stick with that.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The cover.
Oh, yeah.
You know, themselves.
Yeah.
And it wasn't real. It was not real. Because, you know, for real, these people don't care nothing about the politicians either, really, unless they give them some money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or some money.
Well, I'm telling you, people, we're going to keep a foot in on our neck and in our behinds until we remove it. It's just that simple. It's going to be there until we remove it. Now, that's the issue. When are we going to remove it? You know?
So with that said, my sister, so now tell our listeners, what is it that we can now do or continue to do or, you know, what are the plans of actions presently or, you know, whatever. Give us some insight into what kinds of things folks can continue to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's three things, basically, the three major things. One mm-hmm. is that people should be on the parole board's back. They should be calling, writing them, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, don't give them a minute's peace about the MOVE Nine. And their contact information as well as the names and prison numbers of the MOVE Nine can be found on our website, www.onamove.com. So that's one thing people can do, stay on the parole board. The other thing that people can do is encourage, urge, nag journalists and media people to ask for interviews with the parole board, question them about this issue here. Because, you know, people can put pressure on them. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
If journalists and media people start calling them and contacting them for interviews and asking them about this situation, they're going to get a little
right.
more nervous.
Right, right.
Like okay. being shined on this.
The mm-hmm.
Third thing that people, particularly right here in Philly, need to do is they need to contact Seth Williams and Mike Nutter and make them substantiate why they are not meeting with us. What is the problem? People always, particularly officials, try to say, you know, that MOVE is so confrontational, we just want to fight. You know, and we're unreasonable and all that. We're asking for a meeting so that we can discuss and resolve these issues. We did
right.
that before May 13th. you know? But these officials don't want to resolve nothing. They don't want to resolve nothing. But people should be on their back, in their ear. Ask them, what's the problem? You need to meet with these people and point out that this was a major recommendation of that commission. Keep the lines of communication open.
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Are there any of our brothers and sisters coming up soon? Are there any parole hearings that are in the near future?
Well, Debbie and Janet just had their parole hearings and got their responses. They got a 1-year setback, meaning that they were denied parole and won't be interviewed for a year. Chuck will be going before the parole board in October.
Okay.
In October. So, I mean, the pressure needs to stay on the parole board about our family. I mean, you know, it just blows my mind. I can't fathom how they think what they're saying is rational. I mean, MOVE people have been telling them all these years that they're innocent. MOVE people have not been problem inmates, you know. I'm not saying MOVE people never got a write-up. They have, but they haven't had write-ups in years. And it was never for any, like, fighting or, you know, anything crazy. It was about the officials trying to instigate something by putting certain kind of people in the cell with our family members. You know, ones who they knew would be a problem, that smoked, you know, had all different kind of issues, was involved in various jailhouse stuff that my family has never, ever been involved in, you know. But things like that, and it hasn't been in years. So, you know, for them to think that they can just say, oh, well, we want you to confess. We want you to say you're guilty. I mean, for them to say that and think that people should accept it and for people to accept it and not be outraged about it and confront them about it, it's just unbelievable. It's unfathomable.
Wow. Okay, what we're going to do is just take a quick break, and we're going to open up the phone lines. If anyone has a question or a comment for Sister Ramona, what we'd like to do is give you the opportunity, or if you have a comment or something you'd like to share with us, we'd certainly like to give you the opportunity to do that. When we come back, we're just going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to also mention a little about Brother Sunday Adekoli, who also was recently turned down for parole.
Yeah.
And we talked last week, too, about Iman Jamil Alameen's situation as well.
Right.
So we're going to kind of revisit a little bit of that, too.
But his mail, that federal prison.
Right.
They weren't giving him his mail.
Right.
His people, his support committee and everything was sending out emails about it and asking people to call the prison.
Right, yeah. We announced that last week. So we just got the information today on Dr. Matula Shakur, the actions that were being taken, you know, with his case. So we
didn't
have that, and we're gonna, you know, put that information out too. But again, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, if anyone has any comments or questions or whatever for Sister Ramona, or you just want to share something relevant to what we've been talking about, just push one, and we'll get you right on. But we're just gonna take a quick break right at this point, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Hello?
You stay right there, and again, we'll be right back. All right. All right. We were trying to cue something up while we were taking our break, but having a little technical difficulty, so we might not be able to do that. So what we'll do is just go back to our boards. We're having a little technical problem here. Okay, here we are. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Joining us, of course, is Sister Ramona Africa. Just a little piece of that. Actually, that song is entitled a Sada song, but it's also subtitled, you know, For the Black Woman. So we thought that was very appropriate for right now, talking with our sister. Okay, going back to dialogue, of course, we've been talking about August 8th. You know, we've been talking also about just the whole industrialized prison complex, injustice, all of that relevant to this system. I mean, what can we say? Doesn't seem like anyone has a question for you tonight, Mona. I'm looking to see. I don't see anyone. I think a lot of times when we're having a dialogue, people just like to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all good, but we sure they got an earful tonight. So,
yeah.
You know.
What people are hearing is very simple and very easy to understand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's nothing complicated about it. People just have decisions. Yeah, as to what they're going to do.
Absolutely. So now, we were talking before we took the break a little bit about Iman Jamil Al-Amin, and as you indicated, and we announced it last week as well, that, you know, people need to, of course, send those phone calls, messages, faxes, and so forth again to that prison as well. And before we leave out tonight, we're going to get that information and reiterate that for you tonight as well. And then, of course, we were also talking with Sister Ramona about the fact that Sundiata Kolei, I believe Sundiata is roughly, what, 70 years old now, Ramona?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And, I mean, that's what is criminal. It is absolutely criminal that our freedom fighters are made to spend most of their life in prison. When Chuck Africa went to prison on August 8th of 1978, he was 17 years old. He's now 52.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Sundiata is 70. I mean, this is criminal. This is what's criminal, truly criminal.
Yeah. And, you know, a perfect example, too, is I believe it was last year when Geronimo Gijaga made transition. And look how many years was spent in prison.
Yeah.
And then to come out to, and only to have, what, a few years.
And that they knew he was spent all those years, you know, knew it. Mm-hmm. And would not, you know, do anything about that situation. You know, if he had a parole date right now, they'd be trying to tell him to confess, to say you're guilty, take responsibility, when he was innocent.
Yes.
And sat in prison all those years. It's I tell you, it's upsetting. It's upsetting. It's not something that people should feel comfortable with and not be upset about. If you can hear about these things and not be upset, then you need to question yourself.
You know, and the other thing that I feel is really a part of their game plan is to keep this economy, this so-called economy, in such a disarray. And that way it distracts people, it diverts them from, you know, focusing on other types of issues and so forth and so on. Because they're so preoccupied with day-to-day survival and, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
So it just really, you know, it just seems so clear. They've learned from the past. You know, they see how to kind of keep things the way they want it. And
And that's why I say people should be outraged, because you got the everyday Joe Blow who can barely put food on his table, and the government saying, well, you know, we don't have money. We you know, can't take care of people like that. Meanwhile, bailing out those banks.
That's, ooh, yeah.
Out those banks. And people see this stuff, you know. How can you look at that and not be fighting mad?
That's right.
Not be fighting mad. That AIG insurance company, they were asking their employees to take these cuts and stuff to keep the company going. Meanwhile, the top officials, CEOs and top officials, was getting big-time bonuses, $1 million in bonuses. Asking the you know, bottom of the totem pole employees to take pay cuts. You know, I mean, how can people not be outraged when they hear about this stuff? It ain't no joke. It ain't funny. You know, people should be fighting mad.
Yep, but that's why, again, since we're not really seeing that, that's why, again, I go back to say that I think it's some kind of hypnotic. You know, these people are using a lot of technology nowadays. And as we started off the show tonight talking about how they now have something on Mars, I don't know what they got cooked up, but it's not natural. It's not normal for these kind of things to be happening, as you're talking about, and people not responding in a more proactive kind of way.
Something's
going on. You know, we know they're tampering with the water. We know they're tampering with the food. So maybe, just maybe, we know they're tampering with the weather.
Oh, yeah.
So I would not be surprised if some behavioral stuff is going on.
I'm not surprised either, but people better wake up and realize that there's something going on here, and that if they're not fighting mad and ready to, you know, stand up for what's right, stand up for themselves. You don't have to look past yourself. You know, not anybody else. Not, you know, look past yourself, but, you know, just yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hopefully, my sister, it will come very soon, because if not, this thing is going to be, I mean, it's already a monster.
Yeah.
Well, Mona, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us tonight and give out the website information again and, of course, the email address as well.
Mm-hmm.
So stay in tune and keep getting that information.
Okay. People can go to the website to get the information about the parole board, get the addresses and prison numbers of the Move 9. The website is On the Move, that's onamove.com, www.onamove.com. the email address is On the Move, that's onamoveLLJA@AOL.com. On the Move, LLJA@AOL.com, and people can call us at 215-386-1165.
All right, my sister.
All right.
Well,
I appreciate the opportunity, Soleil, to keep your audience updated and, you know, aware of what's going on and, That's a big part of revolution, keeping the information out there.
That's right. This is what we always say. You've got to keep on pushing on and making certain that we continue to connect. And just, you know that this thing is to, as some have said, from the cradle to the grave. So,
yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
ongoing, a luta
yes,
continua, as said. All right, Mona, of course,
all right.
Thank you
Thanks
again.
Thanks so much.
And,
what a
you
move.
Know, we're here. Whenever anything new comes up or you want to get on, just let us know.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. Baby.
On the Move.
Let's
long
love.
Live revolution. Move. Long live John Africa.
Yay, Bo. All right, family. We've just been talking with, of course, Ramona Africa, who is not only the Minister of Information for the Move organization, but, of course, one of our very, very serious sisters dealing with the movement, dealing with the liberation of our people for today. Before we close out for tonight, we're going to play one of the more recent Mumia Abdul-Jamal commentaries. And, of course, since we just talked with Sister Ramona, we're going to play the message from Mumia about the Move 9 and August the 8th. All right. So hopefully, here we are.
Most people have forgotten August 8, 1978, when police in Philadelphia unleashed a blitzkrieg against members of the Move organization. There, police fired hundreds of rounds into the house, fired tons of water, and after people were flushed from the house, several were beaten on the street. The cops who beat one man, Gilbert Africa, for example, were ordered acquitted by a local judge despite videotape. When Move members went to trial, 8 men and women were railroaded on dubious murder charges for killing a cop who almost certainly was the subject of so-called friendly fire. The city of Philadelphia made sure that this question couldn't be resolved by literally tearing down Move's house, allegedly an active crime scene, by nightfall. But none of this mattered, for there was a railroad in process, and 8 Move people were sent to state gulags for 30 to 100 years. Behind the attack on Move was certainly their radical lifestyle in opposition to state power. But there was also the dynamic of powerful real estate interests, which wanted to expand their holdings to create a greater university city. For Move, August 8 isn't 30 years ago. It's yesterday. It's that close. They need your support to end this injustice. For more information, contact the Move organization on the web at www.onamove.com. From Imprison Nation, this is Mumia Abdul-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan.
On the Move, everybody. All of the activists,
all the righteous folks that want to get on the move. This is Delphi Africa of the MOVE organization. I won't be long, but I just want to say the MOVE organization is taking this opportunity to speak out about the 34 years of imprisonment of the innocent MOVE 9. We were first railroaded, arrested in August 8, 1978, where one cop was killed. Philadelphia District Attorney's Office claims that 9 MOVE members fired one bullet into one cop and subsequently gave all 9 of us 30 to 100 years. Our battle now is with this unjust parole board's decision to keep on giving us these hits, putting us back year after year, claiming that because we refuse to admit to the so-called responsibility of our alleged crime, that they can't let us out. And the MOVE organization is sick and tired of letting these people get away with these excuses, and we are urging people to get on the MOVE and do something about it. Help us fight this unjust prison parole board's decisions. Ever since we first came up for parole in 2008, we have been fighting this stigma of they saying we're not ready. Each and every MOVE member has completed all our programs. We got like 15, 19 years misconduct free. We're taking away all the excuses that these parole boards give. They have had other people that have had charges on them that have been guilty, and yet they get parole. And we're encouraging people to keep on writing and calling parole board on behalf of the MOVE 9 and, in fact, any other prisoners to point out these examples to these parole members. Make them justify their position. These parole officials have been keeping our family in prison under the guise of justice like we guilty of murder, and they're the ones that should be guilty. In 1985, these foul demons came down on our family, murdered 11 MOVE members and animals that were in the house, burnt down 4 square city blocks, and yet not one public official has ever went to jail for this, has even been charged with a crime for this. As if this cop, James Ramp, that was killed in 1978, who we didn't kill, like his life is more valuable than anybody else's. And here it is time now in 2012 that these people are once again giving MOVE members hits. In other words, saying that we're not eligible for parole. We've had community support from around the world. We've had people from around the world that said, okay, they'll take us in. And yet this Pennsylvania Parole Board is continuing its unjust and, in fact, illegal and wrong stance of keeping MOVE people in prison. And so this is what we want to do, is urge everybody. This August 8th, flood the Parole Board of Pennsylvania hotline with even more calls and make them justify their position. I'd like to give you the parole hotline number in Pennsylvania. It's 717-772-4343. And I'm urging people, call them up. Let them know how you feel about this unjust imprisonment where they can keep people that they know are innocent of the crime of murder in 1978 in prison for another year, another 2 years. If we were weak, if we had been on this prison activity and come to the parole board whining and crawling, they would have been to let us out and told the world, look, we done broke. But because we maintained the same strong revolutionary stance that we came into prison with, then they refused to let us go. And that's all that is. MOVE people are strong, and we came in strong, and we stand on this activity strong. And that's what makes these people mad. That's what makes them angry. John Africa, our coordinator, has shown each and every MOVE member how very necessary revolution is. And because of our uncompromising example, people all over the world have chosen to get on the MOVE. And this prison board and the state officials and Seth Williams, the Pennsylvania District Attorney, recognize the power. And that's why they don't want us on the street. And we urge that people call up and demand that they justify their position and tell them that you know that all they're doing is making excuses about letting us out. So I want to thank Prison Radio for this time. I have to go, and I hope for the chance to communicate with people on the outside again through this phone line. But our phone time is up, and I got to go. So on the MOVE to everybody, and keep on fighting, because we're going to keep on fighting in here. These commentaries are recorded by Lord.
Indeed, that was Brother Delbert Africa. Wow, it's been a while since I've heard his voice, so I'm kind of taken back by it. You know, for those who don't know or maybe don't remember when 1978 occurred, myself, I was a little college student, and we all remember going up to the barricades before they actually, did the raid. The street was barricaded off, and of course, we would go up every day, and people would just take food and water and different things to help out, because at that point, the city of Philadelphia had created a barricade where the Moon family could not come out. But, we were able to take things to them. But also, speaking of Delbert Africa, if you've ever saw any of the footage, after the event or situation took place, shall I say, Delbert is the brother who you saw being almost murdered in the street when the Moo family did come out of the compound. The police emerged on them. And they had Delbert on the ground kicking him and just beating him brutally, beyond brutally. And that again, is also the picture that you see oftentimes when they show footage of August 8th. You'll see a brother with locks and the rifles are pointed at him. This was right before they, beat him down to the ground and kicked him and so forth. And that again, was Delbert Africa. So it was kind of, really interesting to hear his voice and to hear how just strong and how, still very committed that he is. But again, family, the bottom line is we still got to do what we've got to do. We've got to work towards getting our political prisoners home. Before we close out tonight, a message from Dr. Matula Shakur. And these are his exact words, so I'm going to read it as it's stated. It says, on Thursday, the 26th of July, I had the parole board hearing at 8 a.m. Both attorneys were there, James Simmons and Nana Janami from L.A. We were able to expand the record as to the new disclosure that disapproved the commission's finding on many issues. This hearing was a statutory interim hearing, and the objective was to demonstrate new information or law that was not on the prior records. I believe that I accomplished said goals, but the examiner was not willing to make a recommendation to reopen the case. All issues as to my status must be ruled on in Washington by the National Parole Board, so a final decision is forthcoming. They have not ruled in my favor in the past, but we have put a sustainable record for them to review. We are still in the Second Circuit waiting for a decision from the Second Circuit judge, a Rule 35A, to correct the sentences. We are also in the process of preparing a pardon application to President Obama. So as you can see, there are still possibilities to get some relief. For without struggle, sure, we can't expect to have any victory. So I thank you all who have done anything to help me in this fight for my freedom. We will not lose faith in our ability to overcome injustices. Aim high and go all out. Stiff resistance. Thank you all. Matula Shakur. So, family, again, we have to do our part. And for Saturday's show, I should have some contact information for you so that you will be able to, forward your concern or, your comments or whatever to these people requesting that they do the right thing finally or, at least make that effort to do that. And, again, we're going to try to have some information for you on Saturday as to where you can send your letters or emails or whatever to them and letting them know that we are watching and that we are encouraging them to now grant this pardon and to let our brother out, let him be free. So, family, we hope that you have enjoyed this special edition of New Day Resurrection, and our regular broadcast will, of course, be Saturday. We will have a brother named Brother Siron will be joining us, very interesting brother from Chicago. So hopefully you will be coming to join us on Saturday at 10:30 p.m. our regular time. Until then, we thank all of you again for tuning in, and certainly we thank Sister Ramona again for joining us for this evening. And remember, we must continue to fight. A lucha continua. The struggle does indeed continue. And remember, as we greet you, we will now leave you with the words of Ma'at-Hotep. But just as we say, there can be no real Hotep, no real peace, until there is true Ma'at, true justice. Until next week, family, or shall I say until Saturday, Tutanana. Stay blessed. Peace to you.